when I turned soldier, the family was furious and changed her name in the family records. Doran smiled. They sent me the one letter, to be sure I knew it, and that's all I've ever heard. Pox had never thought of any of the captains starting out.
Eh, my lord, sorry I'm late.
Krakonia, in the doorway, unwrapped his sword belt and tossed it at a servant in the passage outside.
What did you find? Asked the duke.
What we found so far.
Krakonia stumped over to the table, obviously stiff from the saddle, and poured himself a glass of wine. His mail jingled faintly as he moved. He drank the wine down.
They made for the lairs again, a band of 40 or so. We killed 15 and wounded a few, but we couldn't catch them before they went underground.
I'm sure you tried very hard, put in Lady Arvis. For the barest instant, everyone looked at her. Then they all moved to find a seat at the table.
We're not formal, said Velici, the recruit captain. Not unless we have visitors from outside. Just find a place somewhere.
Pox waited until the others had sorted themselves and took a seat at the far end of the table from the duke. She noted that Lady Arvis sat on the duke's left, and Master Simmet, one of the dark-robed surgeons, was on his right. Krakonia, Velici, and Visanyer, the other surgeon, took the left side of the table, while Arkelin, Doran, and the duke's steward, who entered at the last minute, took the right side. Kesim sat beside Pox. Servants brought in platters of food, and the meal began. Pox ate quietly, sharply aware of something wrong, but unable to locate it. She remembered feeling like this in the inn. She wondered if it was the red-haired woman. She looked at the faces, trying to pick out the woman's escort that night. Around her, the talk was of orcs and their raids.
After so many quiet years, I simply can't understand it.
Velici gestured with his wine glass.
I must have missed something, staying up here with recruits. Somehow I let them build up, but I swear to you, my lord, we had no trouble. No trouble at all.
I believe you.
The duke's eyes were hooded.
I can only imagine that they are moved by some power.
He paused, as Lady Arvis's hand rested lightly on his arm for a moment. She murmured something low into his ear. His face relaxed into a smile, and he shook his head.
Well, he said in a milder tone, we need not mar our meal with such talk. Tur knows we've covered the same ground before. Has anyone a lighter tale to sweeten the evening?
Pox saw the other's eyes shift sideways from face to face. She herself had never imagined the duke being deflected from a serious concern by anyone, let alone someone like Lady Arvis. Meanwhile, Simmet had begun talking of rumors from Leonia, the king's illness and turmoil among the heirs. The lady listened eagerly.
Did you hear anything about Lord Penenault? She asked, when Simmet paused.
No, lady, not then. Did you know him?
Yes, indeed. A fine man. My late husband held his lands from Lord Penenault, and we went every year to the Firsting Feast.
She turned to the duke. He is not so tall as you, my lord, or as famous in battle, but a brave man, nonetheless.
You need not flatter me, said the duke.
But he seemed not displeased. Pox shivered. She looked up to find Veneristimon diagonally across the table staring at her.
Are you quite well, Pox?
He asked. His tone was gentle and concerned, but it rasped on her like a file on bare flesh.
Yes,
she said shortly. Something moved behind his eyes, and he passed a flagon of a different wine down the table.
Here, try this.